So Gary, can you maybe mute your phone? It seemed like we have a lot of background there.
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Okay, we have one discussion item today. Board of Trustees. Oh, I should go back. Let me start on page one. Okay, we've called the meeting in order. Roll call. Trustee Davis.
Here.
Trustee Crawford.
Here.
Trustee Boone.
Here.
Trustee Doug Criddle.
Here.
Trustee Hasty. Trustee Gary Criddle.
Here.
Trustee Rasmussen here. All board members are present. Trustee Gary Criddle, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Okay, please stand. Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Trustee Criddle. And we do not have any board or any public comments tonight. Now let's move on to the first agenda item. Board of Trustees, number one, superintendent search. This is a discussion item. The board will meet with consulting partners from the COSCA group to discuss the various aspects of the superintendent search, including timeline, stakeholder groups to engage in the process, and board perspective on district needs. Mr. Shapiro, do we have you here for take us through that?
Thank you very much, Mr. Rasmussen, and all board members and staff. It's a pleasure to be with you again, as it was a week ago. Let me introduce my partner in this search, Dr. Fred Navarro. Fred, I think you're muted. You might want to say hi and unmute.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, I'm honored to be here. Thank you very much.
Good. So we look forward to working with the board and the community and staff through the search process. Tonight begins the process. And as mentioned in the agenda, there are really three things we hope to accomplish tonight. The very first one is to really clarify in detail with the board the entire search process and put that into a timeline that we think is what will please the board in terms of the ultimate outcome. And that is a discussion because we are open to any adjustments that the board would like to make, although we've given you a recommended timeline. Then we will begin the process of the search beyond the board by engaging with various groups. So our second goal tonight is to identify by discussion with the board all the groups that will be essential for us to meet with to get the input that we want from staff, community members, parents, et cetera. And then our third objective tonight is to really begin the process by getting input from the board on some basic questions that will guide us through the search process. Now, you had received earlier some documents that we want to work through. Do board members have copies of those to refer to? If so, good. Let's begin by talking about the search process and the timeline. The timeline we're presenting to you is based upon an intended outcome date that we think is important because we believe, we're coming to you with the belief that the board would like to begin the process as soon as possible. Oh, great. Thank you, Brian. Would like to begin the process as soon as possible with the intent of bringing the new superintendent on board as early as possible. So the timeline is based on getting off to a quick start and moving along at a pace that we think is not only going to be comprehensive, but will lead to having the new superintendent appointed before the end of August. So the dates that we're presenting go along with that, but at any point we can change those if the board would like to. So tonight you can see in the very first, under pre-recruitment, that very first box what we have just discussed that we want to accomplish. Then the next step is for us to meet with the various stakeholder groups and we would accomplish that next week. It probably won't take an entire week. It would take a few days, but we will work out the schedule, and there's where we would work with Ms. Mejia to help us identify the best times to meet with various groups and conduct those meetings next week. After we have gotten the input that we want to receive from all the stakeholder groups, and that will include input from an online survey that we'll send you so that we can also get responses to the survey. After we receive all that input, we will prepare for you a booklet summarizing the results of all the input we received. And they are going to be based on the same three questions that we're going to start by asking you tonight. What do you consider to be the major strengths of the district? What do you consider to be the major needs and challenges facing the district? And what will be the desired personal and professional characteristics of your incoming superintendent? After we've gotten that information from the board tonight and we present this report identifying what we've heard from all your stakeholders, the next step will be to hold a meeting with you again. And I've put some dates, some prospective dates for that meeting, anywhere from June 15th to 17th, in which, working with the board, we will help you identify what the final results of this input would be that will then become the profile of the district that we will use in all of our advertising materials, in the brochure that we present, in everything that we send out. And this material will also be critical because when we recruit candidates, we will be looking specifically for candidates who meet the characteristics that you've identified and who have the strengths and the skills to work in the areas you've identified as needs. So that becomes critical. Randy, if we could move to the next page. Brian. Then the pre-recruitment phase will end with us preparing the brochure that we'll ask the board to look at and make sure that it meets with your approval, as well as the application materials. And then we're ready to begin the recruitment process, which would begin on June 21st. And I'm going to ask Fred to walk us through the recruitment process.
Thank you, Joel. Well, board members, as you'll see, we've allocated a significant amount of time for the recruitment phase. As Joel mentioned, going through the first phase, we'll be developing an electronic brochure that we will use to blanket all the districts in the state with the information about your vacancy. We'll also be placing ads in EdCal and in EdJoin. EdJoin is by far the premier communication tool for those that we seek to employ and those who are seeking employment in various positions. Now, that's the official publicity effort gone out, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes in this period. For example, you'll see there that all of our members across the state will be also be out actively recruiting candidates that meet your profile and have the desired qualities you're looking for. And I think it's important not to minimize the informal network that is created by going out and recruiting. And that can come from board members who might want to ask us to seek out a superintendent in a local district they've heard good things about, or it might come from the county superintendent who might say, you know, we want you to look, you should look at this person or this district, and so on. So the informal network is just as important as the formal publicity effort that we'll make. There'll be continual reports to you about the applications coming in, and we will review each of the applications in the process before we go into phase three. Joel?
So now we will have come to the end of the application period, which we're projecting to be July 23rd. And as we move to phase three, which is a selection of your applicants to be interviewed, it says there will be screening applicants, but the truth is we will have started to screen the applicants as soon as we receive their materials. Some will send them to us early in the process, some midway. Our experience is, though, that we receive many of the applications toward the end of the process. Many of the candidates labor over their applications and their letters, and we'll send the materials in toward the end. So we continue the screening process after we've received all the applications. we've already begun the reference checks, the extensive reference checks, as soon as we've received materials, but now we'll continue to do that on those that have come in toward the very end. And we put together a panel of some of our partners to take a look at all of the qualifications and including what we've heard from the references. And together, we'll do a ranking of the candidates based on the qualifications so that we can feel that we've identified the ones that we want to bring forward to you as the ones that we feel most meet the profile that we've created and will be most qualified for you to take a serious look at in terms of interview. We'll prepare a summary of the qualifications for every candidate that we'll bring to you. And at the same time, we will supply to you the application materials of every single candidate. So we'll be prepared to recommend when we meet with you again, which candidates we think are the most qualified, but at the same time, you'll make the decision who you wish to interview. That decision is yours. So you can see toward the bottom there, you'll review the application materials. We've set aside some days for that and determine who you'd want to interview. And we put in some prospective dates for the interviews. We've done interviews on various days of the week and at various times. But what we found worked the best is typically to have the first round of interviews on a Saturday to be immediately followed by the final round on the very next day. So we put that in for August 7th and 8th. And that, again, is up to the board to see if that will work for you. We will immediately then, at that same time, while we're deciding with you who you wish to interview, we will work with you to determine what the questions will be for your interviews. We will supply you with questions that we've developed that we think really will serve your purpose based on the profile that you've indicated, and we have an extensive list of questions, but we'll work with you to make modifications or to add questions that you would like to see go into the interview, so that when we're done with that meeting, we'll pretty much know what the interview process will look like. Next, in phase four, what we call the interview process, we'll be contacting every candidate, those who will be interviewed as well as those who will not be interviewed, and we'll do that on July 30th. We'll facilitate the interview process, and let me emphasize, we don't conduct the interview. The board conducts the interview, but we'll facilitate that process, set everything up logistically, and assuming that we do that on August 7th, then we'll work with you to determine which candidate or candidates you'd like to bring back for a final interview on August 7th. At that point, the board typically would have determined who the favorite candidate is, your finalist, that you would feel is the best fit for to be a next superintendent. Now, we prepare a compensation study. It says we start that on August 9th, but the fact is we will have started that earlier. But by August 9th through 12th, we'll have completed that. And that's very helpful because as you're working on the contract for your new superintendent, it's a good idea for you to see what compensation looks like in districts like yours, districts of a similar size, of a similar population, and particularly geographically close to where you are. So we provide that information to you. The next step in phase five that most boards do, not everyone, but we recommend it, is to make a visit, what we call a site visit, to the selected candidate's district, where you would interview various people that that person works with. That's really your way of validating that everything you believe to be true about this candidate that you want to hire is true, so that you, in a sense, you haven't left any stone unturned. And we've indicated that that site visit could occur any day during the week of August 9th through 13th. At the same time, you would be working with your legal counsel, and we are available, and we usually are asked to help work on the contracts, but you would be working with your legal counsel to start drafting an employment agreement contract. What we recommend then, and typically a subcommittee of board members begins that work, usually a subcommittee of two. But after doing some work on that, then it would be our suggestion that the entire board meet in closed session to review the results of the site visit and to finalize the contract that the subcommittee has worked on. so that the entire board has agreed that this is what the employment contract should look like. That will take us toward the end of phase five. Let's go to the next page. Of course, phase five ends with the actual appointment of the superintendent. And by law, that must occur at a regularly scheduled board meeting. So following our timeline, we think that could occur by August 24th, which is a regularly scheduled board meeting. And then your new superintendent would come on board based upon what can be reasonably worked out. Typically, people need a few weeks of transition time from their previous job to before they can start. So we would imagine the new superintendent would actually come on board sometime, probably mid-September. And then we have the last phase, which is the post-appointment services. As we mentioned last week, we will provide up to 2 years of ongoing mentoring for the new superintendent, which we have found to be very valuable. And within a couple of months after the new superintendent has started, we would facilitate with the board and the new superintendent a governance workshop and goal setting so that we can work on the superintendent's goals and we can work on various protocols of governance to make sure that the board and the superintendent are working well as a team. So that's the entire process, and that's the prospective timeline that we're presenting for you. And I would ask, at this point, any questions? Or comments?
So, Mr. Shapiro, I do have one that actually was kind of back from our meeting of last week. It's kind of a moot point, I think, but I was looking at the brochure, or not the brochure, but the proposal that Mr. Carrion had given us back on May 13. And I know when we talked about the cost of your firm, we were looking in this particular proposal, which was 2019. And Mr. Carrion had put on the front cover that your cost was $23,500. And at our last board meeting, it was pointed out to me that on page 11, that it was $21,624. I was just curious, what is the actual cost?
Well, it's interesting because that second figure had been mentioned by one of the board members to us looking at the material last week. But the cost based upon what our costs were in 2019, they've actually gone up since then, but we're not going to use the newer costs. The costs really are the $21,500. So I think the agreement that we put in, which was for the $600 and something, could be easily be amended for $21,500.
Okay. No, that certainly is fine. I just wanted clarification on there. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm not sure who wrote that proposal in 2019, but I was a little surprised that the cost did not match up. And apart a little bit more than $100 apart, but I'd be very happy to amend that and just make it to $21,500.
Okay, well, that's very kind of you. Thank you. Board members, do we have any questions on regarding the timelines?
Yeah, I have a question that would involve maybe, well, I don't think it would extend anything, but would it, have you guys ever used a panel, such as a stakeholder panel, to do interviews simultaneously? Say you bring a candidate in, do a one-hour interview, and then they go from that panel to the board, and then the board interviews them just to have more stakeholder input on the process. And what I was thinking was like a panel of a couple of staff members, a couple of people from the unions, such as MUTA and OE3, and then maybe a couple of people from the public. I was thinking maybe even some past employees. Anyways, I don't know if that's something that the board would want to do, but is that something that you guys have done in the past? Is it a good part of the process? Okay.
We have. I'll be honest with you, because you hired us to give you our best recommendations, and a search I did about a year and a half ago, we had such a panel. But I don't recommend it. And I'll tell you the reason. There's only one reason I don't recommend it. And that is we base everything that we do in the search on confidentiality. And confidentiality for the applicants means that we guard and the board guards their identity. So the people that have applied, nobody knows, especially because they would not want people in their district necessarily to know or others to know. What we have learned from many of these kinds of situations in the past is, even if we have people at a stakeholder panel sign a confidentiality agreement, it usually isn't something you can guarantee. So often when we do recruitment and candidates ask us, who will be interviewing us? Will it be just the board or will it be a stakeholder panel as well? And we say, well, we want to have a stakeholder panel. Our experience has been there'll be many candidates who simply won't apply because they're afraid that the confidentiality will be compromised. So that has been our experience. Having said that, we'll do what the board wants because I certainly understand the reason for suggesting that. But we have found that it may dissuade some people because they are concerned about the confidentiality.
Does the questions in the interview panel, I mean, they could be, you know, a little bit different between the board and a stakeholder panel. Would they have to be questions that are confidential? I mean, couldn't we get questions about, you know, more personality traits, you know, background, you know, not as far as your background, your personal background, but your working background in other districts, you know, what are your strong points? What are your weak points, you know, and make it more generic so that you don't get into personal issues?
Well, it's not the questions that we're concerned about and the answers to those questions. It's simply the fact that people who are not as invested in the board on the notion of confidentiality may start to talk to other people about who the candidates are. And that's the part, that's the confidentiality part that we're concerned about, not really the questions or the responses. And frankly, everything about it is supposed to be confidential. But it unfortunately has been our experience that when a candidate knows that others beside the board will be involved, they may say, well, I don't want to take a chance on the confidentiality being compromised. However, I said there have been some instances in which boards have requested that, and we have done. So I would leave that up to the board to decide.
Any other questions or comments from board members?
Sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Who we got? Mr. Doug Criddle?
I thought I interrupted somebody. So.
Oh, is it Randy? Randy?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Sorry, Randy.
Trying to follow up on the concern that was expressed during the interviews with the various publics we'd like you to visit with. You mentioned you're going to be going through most of the unions that are involved. It seems like we would glean what the folks outside of the board are looking for.
Yes.
So I think we're not leaving that behind. We're just not doing it face-to-face. In my opinion.
It's a good point because we do engage the associations, the unions, and we try to engage as many teachers who are willing to meet with us, as many classified management staff and others to get their input at that point. So you will get lots of information about what they're looking for. No question.
Mr. Criddle, did you have a comment?
I wanted to say I actually like the time frame. It's aggressive, but it's also flexible. Thank you, Joel. Touching upon the different focus groups, I understand the confidentiality. I was going to ask a similar question that Boom beat me to the punch, but I went back after that meeting and went through some notes and then looked at my emails and basically just kind of took a step back to see what was said, who's been doing a lot of the inquiries and talking, et cetera. And really, I see a lot of teachers don't have that voice that want it, but really a lot of the parents. So how can we reach out? I had a note here. We had a gentleman, Marcus Hamilton, came and spoke, and he had a group of parents that seemed to have some good ideas and momentum from what he displayed at an opening board meeting. Maybe that's someone that we need to reach out to if he's still interested, that we could get a hold of that person. And maybe they would like to have some input on there so that we're, you know, have a diversified group of input from a lot of stakeholders. I agree with Mr. Boom, the OE3, the 228 union, those groups, stakeholder opinions are super important, especially when we're tying things into CTE and trying to move forward with a lot of, there are so many issues here, but I don't know if we're going to get into those tonight of where, what those questions are. And the other question I had, did you want these three questions from the board submitted individually or do you want them publicly? How would you prefer that, Joel?
We're going to discuss those tonight and we'll get your responses tonight. But I thought we'd first just kind of see if you would want to make any changes to the timeline and the overall process. And then we'll move into that. So,
okay.
Because it will be public. We'll be doing that tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there board members?
Let me ask again about the process and timeline. Any suggestions for modification, or are we ready to move forward with this as a potential timeline?
So, actually, Joel, I do have a couple of questions regarding the timeline. If we're looking at trying to set up meetings with stakeholders the week of June 7 through 11, do you feel that's enough time to try to pull that off? It sounds like we're going to maybe – one of our sheets talks about the focus groups, and I assume we're going to go over that sheet to say who we would want to have as those stakeholder groups. What would be your process of trying to contact those folks to see about trying to have a meeting? And would those meetings be in person, or are they going to be through Zoom?
Well, a couple of parts of that question to answer. First of all, setting aside a week is really, we believe, is quite sufficient. It gives us many, many opportunities. Typically, these meetings go for about an hour. And with two of us, where we could actually have two meetings going simultaneously if we want to, we can accomplish a lot of them even in one day. So it's amazing how many, working with a schedule that works well, how many groups we can meet with in a few days. But we've set aside a whole week to give us that flexibility. In addition to the individual groups that we will identify, we propose to hold one or two in the evening community forums, which means that anybody who's not necessarily a member of one of those groups or who might not have been able to attend a meeting for one of those groups could come to the community forum so that we can engage as many members of the public as possible. Typically, we like to hold these meetings in person, and we'll be there to try to hold as many of them as possible in person. I will say, though, one of the complications with some employees, and that might be particularly true with the whole group of teachers, is they're no longer on the job. Their work year has ended. So there will be a question that I would discuss with staff, which is, are teachers more likely to want to come in to meet in person when they're not on their work time, or would they find it more convenient to hold this meeting by Zoom if they're at home? And that would be, for people who are not on the job, they might actually find it more convenient. But that's only the case if, because they're not working right now, they find it more convenient. We would consult with staff on that. But except for those instances, we propose to hold these meetings in person. We really think that they add a lot of value if we can get people to come in and meet with us in person.
So are you proposing maybe to do a hybrid meeting where you're going to do in person and be able to reach out to the folks?
We might even hold two. We might hold one in person for anybody who can show up and another one on Zoom for the people who can't. So we'll figure out the best strategy for it. The idea would be to get as many people to provide input as we can.
Yeah. So one of the things that we did last time we were in this process is for those community members and stakeholders, we actually held a community evening meeting at each one of our intermediate schools. We have one that's out in Oliver's, one here in Marysville, and then one up in the foothills that allowed the public to be able to come to those. And those were good central locations where people could gather.
That could work.
Okay.
You know better than we do the best logistics for how we can get people to attend. So if it makes sense to do those community forum meetings at three different middle school locations, we can do that.
Mr. Boom, what were your thoughts about the turnouts that we had on those? You were there present at the Foothill one.
We had, okay turnout. It wasn't great, but, I think that if we offer it, in multiple venues, maybe we'll get a little better turnout. I feel like that, people came and they got their say, but I don't feel that they were really listened to. So that's why I was looking more at having another interview panel would interest me to make sure that they are getting the input and their voice is being heard. So that's my concern. But I thought that the turnout was okay up at Foothill when we did it. It wasn't great. I think there was about a dozen people there, maybe.
Yeah. Sometimes we've done it that way at different locations, and sometimes we've done it at the district office, but we've held it on more than one night. So it would be a question of what you think would give us the best turnout. We could do it either way.
So, Mr. Shapiro, on page one of our timeline, on the very bottom, phase one pre-recruitment, it says board holds meeting to prioritize and finalize district strengths, needs to address.
Right.
And we're looking at June 15th to the 17th. We actually have a scheduled board meeting on June 15th currently. The one thing, though, the agenda items need to be turned into the district office by June 4, this Friday. So I guess my question is, do we need to try to agendize that item for this board meeting on June 15th?
Well, here's the way I would look at it. That process of what we want to accomplish on that meeting, my experience has been that could take us about an hour. And so I guess I would ask you to consider, would that be a good idea to do on a regular, to agendize that for a regularly scheduled meeting on June 15th, or to hold it as a separate special meeting on one of the other days? I'd leave that up to you.
Okay. And that is an open session item?
It's open session. If we don't include it in that regularly scheduled board meeting on the 15th, it would be a special open session meeting like tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. And the board would have to decide that pretty soon so that we could schedule that and agendize it. It's really a question of whether you think it would fit into the agenda on June 15th. Often those June board meetings have pretty full agendas, and that's why I wasn't sure.
Right. I do think we have a pretty packed house already on that night.
And like I said, this is likely to take about an hour, this item.
Right. And then up in the very first one where it talks about TCG and the board finalized search timeline, is that what we're going to do tonight, or is that, again, an action item that we have to have agendized?
No, it's not an the board isn't actually taking action. You're giving us input for us to finalize the timeline.
Okay,
so
thank you.
This is simply discussion on your part. We will take that action, so you don't need to agendize that as an action item.
Okay. Is that a topic that board wants to try to discuss right now with regards to that June 15, or trying to do that on that particular night, or what's the pleasure of the board to go ahead and have another special meeting the 16th or somewhere, the to try to do this so that we're not taking up our regular board meeting time.
Well, my opinion is, if we're going to keep an open process, it ought to be a part of our regular meeting. That is what the board is charged with right now. And so I would put it on the 15th.
Even if we had a special meeting, Mr. Davis, it would still be an open session meeting. But I understand what you're saying. That.
Well, I just think, we've got a regular scheduled meeting and people have their, already decided whether or not they're going to participate in whatever way. And to me, it would be, I think it's going to be very important to keep this as open and as convenient as we can make it. Okay. People, but anyway, thank you.
Yeah. Other comments from board members?
Yeah, I agree with Mr. Davis. I think we ought to have it on a regular agendized board meeting so that it's not taking time out of other people's schedules that like to attend the board meetings and see what's going on. It seems like we're getting a lot more participation than we used to. I think if we were holding these meetings in the boardroom, that place would be packed. So I just think it would be more convenient for people. So I would just as soon stay a little bit longer. I don't know. Is the agenda going to be real long that night, Randy? Have you seen it already?
No, I do know we're talking budget that night. I think Mrs. Lawsing, are you on? I thought I saw Mrs. Lawsing. Or do we have any staff that could talk to what we're thinking about for the agenda?
The it will be. It's going to be the adopted budget, so. It's probably going to take me a good half an hour to present that.
Okay, well, that's not too bad.
Minimum.
Okay.
I guess so the only thing I would request, and it certainly makes sense to us to do it at a regular meeting where you will have the maximum number of people participating, but I would request perhaps we put it early on the agenda that would allow Fred and I to perhaps still make a flight back that evening.
Okay. I think we could probably accommodate that. Okay, does any board members have a concern about having it agendized for the June 15th board meeting? Not hearing any, then we're going to go ahead and agendize it for the June 15th board meeting. And Mr. Shapiro, could you send Lisa some wording for what that agenda item would look like?
Absolutely.
And again, that the deadline would be June 4th.
Yeah, we can do that right away.
Okay.
After we complete the last part of tonight's process, which is answering those questions, you'll get a sense as we do that what the discussion will look like on the 15th, because this is the foundation for what we'll be discussing on the 15th. But we'll send that to Lisa.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay, board members, any other comments or questions on the timeline? And I do want to say, Mrs. Lawsing, thank you for your input on the June 15th board meeting.
Welcome.
Okay, so I guess we're finished with the timeline.
No,
what's next?
If that timeline looks good, then we will we'll work on that and try to keep to it, so that we can finish on the date that we've indicated to appoint the superintendent. What I would ask board members then is to set aside the Saturday and Sunday of August 7th and 8th for the interviews, because often it's those weekend dates that people have to really plan in advance for the interviews. And typically for the first round of interviews, you would have to set aside pretty much an entire day. For the final round, maybe just a couple of hours. But
so again, board members,
know that you won't have conflicts then.
Board members, go ahead and mark that on your calendar for August 7 and 8. Sound like it'll be all day. And my assumption is it would be here in our district office. Is that right, Mr. Shapiro?
It typically is. The board could schedule at any other location you like, but I think it's more typical to do it in the district office.
So, Mike, I guess my other thought.
There's another date we've specified that I want to make sure will work for you, that we don't pass over it, and that was on the second page, the very bottom, where it said the selection of applicants for interviews. This is going to be a closed session meeting, and I suggested that we do that on July 29th, after you've had a chance to review all the application materials. You can see on the very last row, it says closed session board meeting on July 29th. And that would be important for you to decide if that will work for you.
Mr. Shapiro, what day of the week is that one?
That's a good question.
Thursday.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Acey.
Thursday, right.
Okay, Thursday. And are we looking at two or three hours of that? What do you anticipate?
I would think 2 hours will be sufficient. That's going to be the meeting in which we're going to discuss the qualifications of every candidate, and you're going to determine who you wish to interview. But I think we could accomplish that in 2 hours.
Okay. July 29. Yeah, it's on the second page there, Jeff.
So what time will that need to start?
I'll leave that up to you.
So, Mr. Shapiro, I'm sorry, Mrs. Hasty, but you're asking a timeline on that?
Yes, sir. What time the meeting would be?
I guess we could talk about that. I don't know what works for board members.
The usual.
So we're looking at 4:30, Frank? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. For practice purpose.
Okay. Ms. Hasty, does that work for you?
That's fine.
Okay. So we would be looking Thursday, July 29th, starting at 4:30 p.m.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Shapiro, on that particular one, you were just mentioning that we're going to be looking at all of the applications. Are we going to be looking at the applications that the panel partners are going to get put together for the most qualified?
We want you to see all of them. We think
all
that's
of them.
Very important. And we'll have those materials at your district office by Monday the 26th, which would give you 3 days to schedule some time to get in and look at them, or even a fourth day, part of Thursday. And we will then tell you when we meet which of those people our panel has agreed are the ones we're recommending. But we don't want to hold any of them back.
Okay, thank you. In your past, this is probably just a shot in the dark. Are you anticipating getting 45 applications or 10 applications?
I would say somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between.
One of the things to consider is timing.
Yeah.
We'll do the recruiting as aggressively as we possibly can, but I think you're aware that the timing on this search is a little later than typical.
Yeah.
Most superintendent searches would have started perhaps 2 to 3 months ago. And the maximum number of candidates you typically get would be during that springtime. So we can't say that we'd get as many doing it in the summertime as you would then. But I also say it's really quality as opposed to quantity. So if we got 25 as opposed to 45 and they're really good, I think that's more than enough.
Guess we only need one, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so review just a little bit for board members. For your calendar, we're looking at a closed session board meeting on July 29. That's a Thursday. We're anticipating 2 hours and starting that meeting at 4:30 p.m. And the applications would be in the district office that Monday prior to that meeting, if you could come down and take a look at those. And then the other important dates for your calendar is August 7th, which is a Saturday, August 8th, which is a Sunday, to start the interview process.
That's the one that might not work for me, Randy. I'll have to check my books. But go ahead, man. I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
No. Does anyone else have conflicts? Is it just that Saturday or any Saturday?
No, I still might be... I lost. Well, never mind. You don't need to get in there.
Yeah.
I'll let you know, man.
Okay. Thank you, Frank.
Sure.
And we have time to modify that as we go further into the process if it turns out we need to make a change in those dates. So we can.
I might have to fly back too, Joel.
Okay.
Not on the same plane, will you? But.
Well, okay. Is there any other discussion on the timeline? Okay. I think we're finished with that one.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Shapiro.
I appreciate the input, and this helps us to move forward on that. That next page that we're going to refer to is simply the one that says meetings with focus groups, and it has a list of the groups to include, which is not all-inclusive. It's the ones that we know of, but we're hoping that you can tell us some that might be added. When we meet with staff, and right now I'm talking about staff, then we'll talk about parent and community groups, we typically meet with all administrators, and based on the size of the district, we think we could do that in one group. We like to schedule at least one meeting for all teachers to attend if they can, and we never get every teacher to attend, but we extend that option. And based on what we just said, maybe we would offer two opportunities, one in an in-person meeting and one in a Zoom meeting as a possibility. We would also hold one with a similar one for classified and confidential employees. And again, we would determine whether it's best by talking to your staff, if it's best done by Zoom or in person or a combination of both. We want to get as many people to participate as we can. Now, we also like to meet with the leadership of the various associations. And so for the teachers union, that would be one group. And typically it's the executive board, but we would let the president determine who should be involved in that one. And I know that you have a few different classified employee unions, but we think since they all represent classified employees, we could probably bring them all together as opposed to three separate meetings. We just think it makes sense to hear from the union leadership for classified together. Now we move to parent groups. And the ones that we know tend to exist in most districts is a PTA council. Do you have a PTA council that represents the PTAs from all the schools?
No. We just have we have individual at each site.
Okay. Because it's very common for the district level to have a council that has reps from each site. But
and I would, if we have staff to correct me or any other board members, please do so. But I'm not familiar with a council.
But if you don't,
I'm sorry, Mr. Shapiro. No, we don't have a district-wide PTA council, but we do have a district advisory committee, which is made up of representatives largely from PTAs. So we have parents who are organized and would like to be involved in this process.
Excellent. So that would be a group we'll reach out to. Thank you. We also would want, I assume you have a DLAC group?
Yes.
We would like to meet with DLAC because we really think their perspective is important. Mm-hmm. And then some districts have very specific parent groups that don't exist in every district. So that's where I'm asking you, and Mr. Cena, perhaps you can tell us, are there other specific parent groups we should reach out to?
Other than the site parent groups, I think the district advisory and DLAC are the representative groups.
Okay. And other parents who want to provide input who are not represented in those groups would be able to come to those community forums.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about community, in some districts, there is a reason that the district would like us to get input from city government, council members, city government staff, depending upon how involved the city might be with the school district. I'm going to ask you folks, do you think that's appropriate here?
Sure.
Okay, good. We also like to meet with business leaders, people who represent the business community. We often work through the Chamber of Commerce. But if there are other groups representing business leaders that would be important for us to reach out to, we would include them as well.
Joel, Jamie Larson, who's the director of Categoricals, has contacts already with CT Advisory Group, which is fairly substantial at Marisol Joint. She does a real good job of that. And if we reached out to her, I'm sure she could probably put something together and get it out to those folks. And I know that they would be a good flavor of what's going on out there for CTE.
So there is a separate CTE advisory group?
Yes.
Good. Let's include them.
Yeah.
Excellent. We'll work with her. Are there other groups in the community that have input and that are substantial groups that we should reach out to?
I would just add, if we're going to look at the city government, we should probably also include the county government, because many of our school sites are other than in the city of Marysville.
Okay.
Our county supervisors.
That makes sense. And probably we could group those two together, because they would be focused on the interaction with the government. So city and county government leaders could probably even meet together. There are sometimes different groups have a lot in common, and we could schedule them together. Are there other groups, now one thing that we didn't list here because of the timing and school is not in session, is we did not list groups of students. Typically, if this were during the school year, we would probably meet with student leader groups such as student government groups from at least the high schools and perhaps middle schools. But we don't think it's practical to involve
them. Well, I would personally like to see this, the kids included there, Joel. That's just my feeling.
Well, we agree. We just don't know how practical it is when school's not in session. Do you think they would come?
Well, practicality is not my specialty, but kids are. And, yeah, they'll be just as many as parents probably. I don't know.
Okay.
When we did this a year and a half ago, and I attended every community meeting with Randy except the Foothill one, there three or four or five, six, right, Randy? It wasn't like the auditoriums were crowded.
Right.
I had a few staff, and that was it. So, yeah, I'd include the kids. I wouldn't disrespect them there, so that's my feeling again.
Well, we like to do that. We just didn't know if they would be interested in attending during the summer when school's not in session. Let me ask Mr. Cena, do you think there's a way to reach out to student leaders, particularly at the high school, and get them to attend a meeting?
Yes. Yes, there are ways to reach out.
Good.
Yes.
Then I think we should. We do like to involve students. Some of our most interesting comments usually come from students.
Thank you.
Can anybody think of a group that we've left out?
Well, the one question I had is working with the Yuba County Office of Education. Is that woven in here that I'm not seeing?
We haven't listed them, and that's can occur where you as the board think that they would provide good input for us. And if you think they'd be a good group to include, we can do that.
I know they'd be very interested.
Good. We can contact the county superintendent and ask superintendent along with other staff from the county office to meet with us.
Yeah, I wouldn't be that interested in having them input their input. Personally, I would just as soon go the route we're going. But so I think other board members need to say what they feel too.
I have to agree with Mr. Boom on that one. I think it's casting the net a little bit wide, but that's my opinion.
Well, we'll take the lead from the board on this, whatever your overall sense is, whether we should include them. I have to tell you, we typically have not included county office people, but we could.
They would certainly have an opportunity to go to the stakeholder meetings, right?
Absolutely. Those are open to everybody.
I guess my biggest concern, again, on this, Mr. Shapiro, and you're the expert at it, but you're planning to do all this next week,
mm-hmm.
and we're on the first I guess you can pull it off. So that seemed like a lot of meetings and just trying to get folks there in 1 week.
Well, this is where we will count, and we don't usually impose on district office staff, but this is where we would work with Lisa Mejia to help us set up the schedule and help get word out to the groups. Because if we're going to meet this aggressive timeline, we have to start scheduling and advertising these meetings as soon as tomorrow.
And are you looking at running these in our local newspaper and our local radio stations? Is that something that you do?
Well, for the groups that are, you know, very specific groups like union leadership and teachers and such like that, typically they're contacted either by phone or email because they are people who work for the district. And the same thing with members of other specific parent groups. But I do think we also put the meetings that are intended for the general public up on the website so that people will see it there. I'm not sure if the newspaper is able to get something in there in time, we might put those forums in there, but I don't know. I leave that up to you to tell us if that's a...
How's your social media outreach?
Yeah. Do you use social media to reach out to the community?
We certainly don't as a board. Do we have that as a district, Mr. Cena, or... Oh, Mr.
Williams. Through the Ed Services, we have... We're on Facebook and other social media outlets. In terms of Brian, our most utilized social media outlet is through Ed Services.
Well, perhaps they could help us post that information in addition to putting it on the district website. Because those seem to be the ways in which people access things that are going on in the district.
I would also add, Mr. Shapiro, if you, once we get the public forums established, if you would send me some information on that, I could get it to our local papers myself.
Excellent. I hope to get the logistics of this worked on tomorrow and try to put this, you know, try to see if we can schedule these as soon as we can. And then we can get that information to you.
Great. Thank you very much.
A couple of groups, if you're looking at other community groups to contact, might be the Water Agency and the Yuba Center Arts Council.
What's the name of the Arts Council again?
Yuba Center Arts.
Yuba Center Arts Council, okay.
Yuba Center.
Yuba Center, okay. Okay.
And the Yuba Water Agency has been very interested in partnering also.
Okay, very good.
With our district.
Thank you. Now, let me explain how we're going to present the information that we receive from these various groups. And you will find out that what we do next with the board tonight will be the same format that we use with each of these groups. And when we get their information, we'll put it together in a report. And we will list every single comment we've heard from every group. But we will not identify the group. And there's a reason for that. People sometimes don't want every comment that they've made to be associated with the group. So we'll label them as Group A, Group B, Group C, and so on. And we'll also get each group to prioritize among each of the comments which ones are most important to them. Because there's so much information that it's very helpful for the board to get a sense of what were their highest priorities. And we'll present that report to you as soon as we've completed this before we meet with you again at the June 15th board meeting. And we're going to take that information and present it to you and try to combine that in the way you think makes sense with the information you're going to give us tonight. And that will result in the profile that we use to advertise the position. So are we ready to go on to that next section? The top with the questions that we want to consider tonight.
Yeah, actually, Mr. Shapiro, I was just thinking logistic-wise for our June 15th meeting. We could still have you guys set up in the boardroom with us. We're currently in a conference room because there's not too many. I'm just wondering, I'm looking at our Mr. Williams, because we haven't, as of yet, had public come into our board meetings. But I guess you're actually going to be staffed at that particular time. So I think it still would be logistically fine. Okay. I guess if there's some concerns, we'll work those out between now and then.
Well, I'll let you tell us if, you know, we would expect to be there in person at that meeting if it works for you.
Yeah. But
if you would, if there's a reason why you're not opening up to the public and would prefer not to do it in person, do it in this format, then just let us know.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll go with what works best for you.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Rasmussen? President Rasmussen, I was just, in terms of logistics, with the meetings next week, Mr. Shapiro, you shared that in person and in Zoom, sort of a combination, we're having two types of meetings. And with Yuba County remains in the red tier. So our in terms of having in-person meetings in the gyms, the junior high gyms, maybe the high school gyms, just we're kind of we're waiting for June 15th actually for the new guidance in terms of how much clutch, how much gas we're having people meet and assemble. So we're working that out, and we're working toward being as much in person as we can, just sharing that in terms of the logistics that we're working through here in Yuba County.
Ms. Justina, might you be available tomorrow if I called you for a consultation?
Yes.
Good, because I think we've got some details to work out on which
yes.
meetings could be done in person based on the situation in Yuba County and which ones might have to be done remotely.
Yes.
And I don't think we all need to be talking about that tonight. I could work that out by phone with you, probably.
Yes.
Great. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Good.
Hybrid's a good idea, Gary. Well, good point.
Yeah. We certainly want to observe all of the health requirements that the county has, and we don't want to presume that people can meet in person in a situation where maybe they can't. So that's why I want to work with you on that. So could we move on to the meat of the matter, if you will, which are the three questions that we want to start off by asking?
Yes.
Are we moving on to that? Good. Now, if we were meeting in person, we would be taking all your responses and putting them up on chart paper, and then in order to get we'd be in the room together, and then in order to get to the priorities in each area, we would do the spend a dot method, where we would let you each go up and have so many dots to put next to an idea, and we would see what your priorities are. Obviously, not meeting in person, we're going to do it a different way. So when we get the list of all your brainstormed ideas on these three questions, we will then send them back. We'll send that entire list back to board members, and we'll tell you under each category how many to select as your highest priority, each one of you, and you'll send them to us. And then we'll put that all together. And then we'll send it back to you and say, as a group, when we had our brainstorm list, you then prioritized the following items. Because I think in this circumstance, that would work the best. So let's start by asking the question, what are the major strengths of the district? The reason this is important is we want to appeal to candidates to want to come to Marysville. And we want to emphasize in our brochure and advertising materials all the great things that we know about the district. So we want to start with that question. What are the major strengths? And I would just leave that up to people. Just shout out answers.
Board members, go right ahead.
Well, what I came up with was diversity, the teachers, and the principals.
Can I ask you if there's anything specifically you want to say about the teachers and principals? Anything you want to add about them?
The teachers are incredibly dedicated.
Okay, thanks.
and have really shown that whatever they need to do to help their children, they're going to do. And they've done the best at that.
Right. And anything specific you want to say about the principal?
The principals have been absolutely amazing in being adaptive and trying to keep ahead of the curve. And so I've been really impressed with the just the ingenuity of the and dedication of the principals.
Great. Thank you. All right. What else is a strength?
Just echo what Mr. Davis said, teachers at the top of the list. And then I had the district's fiscally sound / prudent.
District is fiscally sound and prudent?
Yeah.
Great.
Our CTE programs. We are specifically sitting in a excellent area for agriculture. There's lots of things that are around us that we could take more advantage of. So it's our location.
So would we say that there are strong CTE programs?
Yes.
Great. All right. What's another strength?
I don't know if you really call it a strength, but it's kind of a small district feel, even though that we're kind of a mid-sized district. We're so spread out and so diverse across the board. We go from, you know, people south of the river to people that live clear up in the mountains at, you know, 4,000 foot level. So, and then we get a lot of community involvement. So that would definitely be one of the strengths. But the small district feel is something that, you know, and the diversity, like Mr. Davis said, that goes along with it. That's part of why we're so diverse, is because of how spread out and we're really fairly rural.
Okay, good. So even though it's spread out, there is a small district feeling, and there is a great deal of community involvement as well. Good.
I was going to suggest the another strength is our unique history. Marysville and the community basically sprang up from the gold rush, and there's a lot of history involved in that. We have a very diverse population from various ethnic groups. It's a very unique microcosm, if you will, of populations and diversity. It's different than any other place in California, as far as I'm aware.
So we'll add to the diversity. It's a unique microcosm. Good. What's another strength?
I would like to add our staff dedication, not only our, as we've mentioned earlier, our teachers and our principals, but all of our district staff and are very dedicated to their positions and their jobs. So dedication is very important.
Good. Good.
I would also like to add that we've developed a very robust educational services department that is really helping with our professional development in our district, and which is giving our teachers great support during these times of distance learning and hybrid learning.
So can we say that the professional development has been very positive, especially during this time?
I would say yes.
Good. Good. Lots of strengths. What else?
I would think, and maybe I'm looking at programs but our emergency messaging system, our catapult system, I think is very important in our district, just as we were notified today with some issues at sites. So I think our emergency messaging system is great.
Great. Other things, and it might even be a specific program, you know, an academic program that you think is particularly good, or anything related to helping improve student achievement, anything in those lines?
One of the other areas that we've just entered into is utilizing cost-neutral resources to help improve student learning environments. We've been able to contract with a company that is doing unless of our HVAC and our solar system, solar energy providing systems to help our learning environments for our students.
Great. Any other strengths?
I think one of our strengths, too, has been as involving stakeholders in decision-making, I think, has been one of our strong suits in the district.
Well, I can tell you that's important, and it does not happen everywhere. Are there other strengths that we can think of? Things that would appeal to a candidate and make them want to come to Marysville?
Anything else from board members?
And we can always come back to this if somebody thinks of one after we've moved to the next topic. So sometimes that comes up as we're talking about another topic. But then let's go to the next question, because every district these days in particular is facing some critical challenges, and there may be needs in Marysville that may be very specific here. Another way to look at it might be, what are the problems that you've identified? But we want to help find a candidate who's got the skills and experience to work on these critical challenges. So now we're kind of looking at the other side. What are the critical needs? Anyone?
I've got four.
Go ahead.
First one was learning loss mitigation plan. Second was MUTA relationship building. Third, ELA services need to be expanded. Fourth, what's the plan for increasing enrollment, et cetera? Like, there's more, but that's where I left off.
Let me ask for some clarification on a couple of those. Was that ELA services or services for English learners? I wasn't sure.
Services for English learners.
Okay. And on the MUTA relationship, is that with the teachers union?
Yeah, Marysville. Yes, correct.
And when you talk about relationship, do you feel that needs to be improved?
Absolutely.
The relationship with the.
Yes, on both sides. I mean, there needs to be some dialogue there and some attention given to rebuild the trust on both sides. So.
Gotcha. And you mentioned the learning loss mitigation, the EL services need to be improved.
Increasing enrollment. I had a bunch of notes. I was trying to not throw everything down into the sink.
Is there a need to increase enrollment?
Well, I think across the state there is. I mean, what plan do we have? What plans are available? What is the plan? I think right now everybody across the state is facing that with some more than others. So those are challenges. I mean, they're not obstacles that you can't overcome. But how would one address those?
Right, those are real challenges. I agree. What are some of the other challenges or needs specific to Marysville?
Facilities. We're, like every district, there's always facility needs. So we have a pretty old district as far as our facilities, and there's always a need to, pay attention to the facilities and make sure we don't go backwards. We've done a lot of work on our facilities over the last, 12 or 15 years, and it needs to continue. So, somebody with or some knowledge of facilities, and we've been spending quite a bit of money on facilities lately and doing a pretty good job, I think. But anyways, facilities is always with every district a need.
Would it make sense to say that we want to make sure that the facilities are well maintained and upgraded?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Any other challenges that we can think of?
Well, if I want to add, it's the math. I know that follows the English challenges that we have in a lot of our elementaries. We have a very transient arena where we have children that come through maybe a couple of months, they're gone because their parents left. So to me, if we can focus on mitigating that somehow, because that is second to English, is what I've heard a lot from the principals and teachers I've chatted with.
So we do we need to focus on overall math achievement?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. What else?
I guess to broaden that a little bit, it's just, you know, improve student outcomes, you know, at all the levels.
And so that's in general?
In general.
Okay. I would like to piggyback on the math skills thing. I've been doing some adult ed classes that I teach, and one of the main things I try to hit with all of those guys is basic skills in math. And what I try to do is tie those to real-world situations to make it, you know, help them engage with it better and understand the content better. That being said, I would like to see us move forward some kind of a project-based learning program that ties in career technical education and stuff like that. Not everybody's going to be going to college, and not everybody's going to be getting a scholarship. So we got to get these kids ready for entering the working environment successfully.
So what I'm hearing is project-based learning, and also do we need to add to career tech education? Expand career tech education?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
And I would just say, piggybacking on Mr. Criddle's comment there, that we also need to look at some way of allowing student access to the needed and desired courses at the high schools. We've been having some discussion on the periods of the day, and with our current schedule, it's not making the availability for students to get what they need. So I think that's one of our critical challenges that we have right now at the high school level.
Okay. I agree.
Thanks.
Another one of the critical challenges I just looked at today is trying to hire all the folks that we need. I looked on our district website, and we have about a total of 84 people that we need to get hired. And, you know, with this particular time, I imagine a lot of districts are looking to hire folks. So it's just trying to get the best people we can to help support our kids, I think, is going to be a real concern.
And is that across the board in terms of teachers and classified? And
29 certificated, 54 classified, and one administrative.
Okay. So quite a few classified as well as certificated.
Yeah.
Good. Other challenges or needs?
Well, one of the challenges we certainly run into is equal connectivity for our staff and students. And I don't know how a new superintendent could do any more than we currently have, but it certainly is a challenge with a lot of our sites that are up in the foothills. They have very poor internet service. So it certainly is a district challenge, but it's, you know, we have such a great IT department that have done everything they can to try to improve that.
So particularly in some of the more remote locations up in the hills, that could be an issue.
Well, I think we even have some bad spots here in the valley that we've had numerous hot spots that we've put in, but it's still, I guess that's why three of us board members are here, because we don't have very good service at our homes. Okay. But it certainly is a challenge in our district.
Yeah. Thank you. What else?
Because I understand that we will be needing to deal with the redistricting this year.
Is that coming up?
That is my understanding. So we will need to have a consultant.
And when you say redistricting, it's redistricting for board members particularly?
That is my understanding. The lines will need to be drawn again.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Before you go on, I just had a question for clarification from the board president. Mr. Rasmussen, you talked about the high school schedule, having been a former high school principal, it's close to my heart. What did you mean? Is it the bell schedule? Are there not enough periods? Are there too many periods? What did you mean by it? I just needed some clarity.
Right. We're actually looking at – we have two comprehensive high schools. Actually, I guess MCA 3 and two of the high schools – or one of the high schools is actually looking wanting to try to do a seven-period day with a built-in intervention period.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very high EL population, and we just went through the FPM monitoring review last year and found that we needed to add some EL support for those kids. So a lot of those kids are not having the opportunity to be able to have an intervention or be able to expand for the CTE programs that are available.
Okay, so they don't have access to those?
Correct.
Okay.
Good. You've given us a good list there. Is there anything that we need to add, or should we move on to the next question? Sounds like we're good to move on. This is the one that really focuses on your new superintendent. What are the most important things you're looking for? And when we say characteristics, we mean both professional, which could be experience or particular skills, as well as personal characteristics. And obviously, we all want the very best person, but what stands out in terms of what will be the best qualities for a new superintendent?
One of the things I was actually, taking a look at, Mr. Shapiro, is the CSBA Superintendent Governance Standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly think those 11 standards that CSBA has developed are very comprehensive for what a superintendent certainly needs to be.
Are there any of those that stand out in particular from your perspective? Because I think all of those will apply to any superintendent.
Yeah. So some of the bigger ones are the ability to communicate openly with trust and integrity, I think is one of the big ones for me.
Yeah.
Loyalty.
The ability to act with dignity, treat everyone with civility and respect.
Good.
The ability to produce unity in staff and create a shared vision. Can accept leadership, responsibility, and accountability for implementing the vision, goals, and policies of the district. I'll take a break and let other board members.
I would just build on what Mr. Rasmussen offered. I think that's a great place to start. But I'm looking for a good, solid administrator, someone who has shouldered the responsibilities, be it a vice superintendent or a superintendent, but somebody who has that kind of experience in their portfolio. And I'm looking for a person who is a good listener, an active listener. That helps with the communication process that we're really in need of right now.
Okay.
I'd like to add to what Mr. Davis said. I believe that having some prior experience, either as an assistant sup or a superintendent coming into a district this size, lends, more outcomes, et cetera. So having prior experience is very important. Having
being an advocate for a career technical education, understanding the area, that's probably on everybody's mind. I can't speak for everybody, but I mean, I would think that would be an important one that you would want to know about and know the history. Have a good understanding of the EL programs. I also put down, I would almost prefer or have someone that was maybe even bilingual that could help bridge some of the gaps that we may be overlooking or missing. And not that that's a requirement, but it that would be a great strength in my book.
We would say preferred if not required then.
Well, I mean, I think it's nowadays it's, you know, it does help. I mean, looking at the diversification. And along with that, being able to articulate to parents, administrators, students, as well as stakeholders on all different levels.
Good. Good.
Yeah, I would think that you would want to go with preferred and not required on some of these. I mean, you're going to make your pool pretty darn small. I mean, I would, you know, definitely people or somebody, a person that has district office experience, several years, you know, 5 years or more. But I don't necessarily think they have to be a superintendent or assistant superintendent, because there's a lot of good people that, you know, are going to move up through the ranks. You know, that's how we get new superintendents, and that's how we get, you know, new assistant superintendents. But I think that, you know, preferably would be better than they have to have those qualities, because I think your pool's going to be awful darn small if you get into that. Doug, I don't know how you feel about that, but I just would hate to see us make our pool way too small.
Yeah, I agree with that. We had conversed on that before, and it was preferred, kind of like what Mr. Davis is saying. I would rather have, I think right now, given all the things that we need to do, given COVID, given the situation that we're in right now, having somebody come in and cut their teeth as a new soup with no experience might be, I don't see that being a win-win situation. But I agree with you, Jeff. I think there's some phenomenal candidates out there. I was just throwing out there, I would like to see someone that has some experience at a district this size that they could, you know, walk into with some comfort. It is comforting also to know that TCG is offering the 2 years for mentoring, et cetera. That was a, I think, one of the nice selling points of what they were proposing. So that's all. I was just looking at, I had notes here. So I'm not saying that there's a requirement whatsoever for bilingual or anything. I was saying that it would be a nice added piece right there, because I do believe we're probably missing a lot of folks there that we could communicate with a lot better had we have something like that. That's all.
We've dealt with many districts who indicated it would be nice to have somebody who's bilingual, but they didn't want to restrict it by making that an absolute qualification. So it sounds like that's what you're saying as well.
Yeah, and, you know, to go back on that, you know, for some of the newer board members, we've worked hard over the last several years to make sure that we have office staff and people at the sites that can communicate with the people of different ethnic groups that, you know, don't speak, you know, English real well, English as a first language. So there is a lot of that has been taken care of through those processes over the years. So, yeah, that's why I was saying, too, I'd rather it not be a requirement, because there is a lot of that that's been addressed over the years in our district.
Good.
I have a question. Mr. Doug Piddle, in your statement regarding CTE, are you including arts and music in that?
Absolutely. any and all things that help engage students, arts, music, career technical education, hands-on, are attracting all those students that aren't going to go to college, or maybe they are, but they're going to own a house someday and they want to take a construction class. Absolutely. I think the more that we can offer Ms. Hasty, I'm all for that.
I didn't want to be assuming, but I wasn't sure that was clear to everyone in the room.
I'm going to list the arts as a separate area because I do think it should, it deserves kind of its own separate mention.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Shapiro.
And Mr. Shapiro, just kind of following up on process here, what you had said earlier, you're going to write these lists down. You're going to send them to board members, and they're going to put their dots on them.
Right.
And then we're sending them back, and then you will send us the dot winners.
Exactly. What we're trying to do from all these lists is to synthesize what the board feels are your highest priorities. And the reason for that is when we send out our brochure, we won't be able to list every single item, particularly when you include some of the ones you're hearing from the other stakeholders. So this will be a process to see what board members feel will be your highest priorities individually, and then we'll put them together and tell you as a board what you came up with.
Okay.
What about any personal characteristics, the kinds of things that, you know, about individual personal characteristics? Anything come to mind?
No, I do think transparency is very important.
Okay.
And one of the other things, I don't think, who knows where we're going to be at with regards to the pandemic, but I think it's important to be able to follow local and state guidelines when they're making decisions.
Good.
I don't know if this would fall under personal characteristics or not, but you know, I'm not looking for somebody that's ready to retire in 2 years from now. I'm looking for somebody that's, you know, looking to stay in a district, stay working for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. We've had a, you know, kind of a history of superintendents that have stuck around and been around for a long time, and it, you know, it seems to work well. And, you know, I'm not looking to redo this in 2 or 3 years.
So I like to say that you want somebody to make a long-term commitment to the district. Is that
yes? That would be correct.
That is definitely my hope.
Yeah.
Also earlier, Trustee Hasty had talked about some of our local partnerships, and I think that's going to be very important too for the superintendent to be able to go out and make those connections with our local partners that we have in the county.
Good. Yeah, in many ways, a superintendent has to not only take care of business in the district, but really has to be the face of the district, reaching out to your community and your local partners. So that's important.
And I do want to say that I think, you know, having this pandemic has really caused a lot of difficulty and probably many superintendents being able to do that, having to spend most of their time on getting kids in school versus being able to go out and do that. So hopefully we're on the downhill side of the pandemic and we can try to move the districts forward.
Let's hope. We all hope that for sure.
Yeah.
Other important characteristics to you? At the very beginning, when you were going through some of the CSBA standards for superintendent, I think there's one I didn't get down, so I want to go back and ask you what I left out. You mentioned the ability to communicate openly with trust, the ability to treat everyone with dignity and respect, the ability to produce unity in staff and promote a shared vision. And I didn't get the last one.
I can accept leadership responsibility and accountability for implementing the visions, goals, and policies of the district.
Thank you. So can anybody think of something for any of these three lists that you'd want to add, either the strengths, the challenges, or characteristics that we didn't cover that you'd want to add? Good. I think we got a good list here. So our next step, and I think we'll be able to do this by tomorrow, is for us to send you our written record of this in email as an attachment and give you a certain number to identify and then return them to us, and we'll put them together and tell you what your agreed upon priorities are. And this is exactly the process we'll do with each group we meet with. If we do it in person, we'll be doing it on a chart paper. If it's a Zoom meeting, we'll be doing it in a similar fashion. And that will give us all the input to add to what you've told us. When we meet again on June 15th, the notion will be to finalize what you started with and taking into account what you've heard from all of your stakeholders, so that your the final profile will represent not only your ideas, but incorporate many of your stakeholders' ideas.
So, Mr. Shapiro, you'll be sending those out. I think you do have all the board members' email addresses.
Yeah, we do. So I think we'll get it to some time tomorrow.
And then we'll just communicate directly back to you?
Right.
Okay.
That would be the best way for us to go back and forth on this.
Right.
Before we wrap up for this evening, anything that we didn't cover that you might have questions about?
I just would like to make one point there, Joel. You had mentioned that you were going to request Leesum. He had to do a lot of grunt work, and I would suggest of all our employees, she is taxed and overloaded as it is. Maybe we want to, like we did a year and a half ago, and go ahead and get a part-time secretary or something for you there, Joel. Just a thought, because I don't want to lay it all on Lisa or anyone else that has their own jobs to do.
I'll talk to Mr. Cena tomorrow and get some suggestions on how we can best do that. This is the one part of the search where we require the help of the district staff to be able to contact the people that we don't have contact information for. So whether it would be Lisa Mejia or we bring somebody else in, I'd ask Mr. Cena for the best way to go about doing that.
I just want to say, Frank, that is a good point. If you know, Lisa does have, well, as you know, she sent us all that information on Monday on the holiday. And she certainly is a very dedicated employee, and so that'll be a conversation Mr. Shapiro can have tomorrow with Mr. Cena.
Yeah, thank you very much. Some other ideas as well.
Thank you.
After the work that we, the help that we need from district staff in contacting the various groups, truly, we don't really impose upon your staff members. After that, we can pretty much handle everything ourselves. But that's the part where we just don't have the contact information for some of these people. Anything else that people would want to ask or add? If not, I think from our perspective, we've accomplished what we wanted to tonight. Fred, anything that you can think of we left out?
I think it's pretty thorough. I think I'm really impressed by the responses of the board tonight.
Yep.
Did a really good job of giving us a lot of great information. And Mr. Boone, to your point, you know, when we do this with the outside groups, this is where they can be heard as well when you get that information that we bring to you from all the groups, and hopefully they and you will see their voice in the final process.
That's been our experience, that you really learn a lot what members of your community have to say. And that'll be great.
So I would just like to review a little bit, Mr. Shapiro. So we're looking at June 15th. We're going to agendize an item. You're going to send that information for the agenda to Lisa because by Friday, because that's the time we have to have it agendized.
We'll give her the agenda item probably by tomorrow.
Okay. And then for board members, looks like the next things we have is the closed session on July 29th, which is a Thursday. We're looking at a two-hour meeting starting at 4:30. And then also making sure our calendars are set for August 7th and August 8th. And that's probably a majority of the days, right, of the day?
We would think on the second day it may not be as long, but on the first day, figure the majority of the day.
Okay. Was there anything else with regards to tonight's meeting that board members would like to bring up or? Not hearing any, I want to thank you, Mr. Shapiro and Dr. Navarro. Thank you very much, and we'll move forward.
Well, we want to thank you because we think we're off to a great start. We think you really helped us a great deal to solidify the process and give us the input we need. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your time,
everyone.
Thank you very much. Me and Andrew.